RSN 927's Talking Horses with Joe McKinnon.
Sad news this week, with Sejan Hostud announcing the passing of the outstanding broodmare Legally Bay. She died on Wednesday at the age of 18. A Group 3 winner by Snippets, Legally Bay went to stud in 2005. She produced 9 named foals, 7 of which raced for 6 winners, headed by multiple Group 1 winner and Royal Ascot hero Merchant Navy, Group 2 winner Jolie Bay, and the stakes placed Zara Bay. She will be sadly missed by her owners Chris and Jane Barham, and Chris has been kind enough to join us on the program this morning. Commiserations to you, Chris. A sad loss.
Thanks, Jess. Yeah, Jane and I are quite profoundly sad this week, for obvious reasons. She's been an integral part of the family and changed our lives over the last 10, 15 years.
She was more than a horse to you, wasn't she?
Yes, she was. We came into the horse game without any great knowledge of the industry at all. And Ron Gilbert, friend of ours up here, basically said it would be a good idea for us to investigate getting into the thoroughbred industry and help us along. And she was the first horse we ever bought. And through her, I just can't imagine how our lives would have been without her. We've got to meet some amazing people and travelled all over the world, made some extraordinary friends, and really it all started with her.
Yeah, she enabled you to dream, as you said in a Twitter comment during the week, and obviously you're hoping the dream will live on, and it will, through her progeny.
Absolutely. Merchant Navy, and you know, who knows, some of the colts coming along behind him, you wouldn't know. But and the family page, you know, things I never understood historically, like just her catalogue page and that family, she's been quite influential and will continue to be in the future, no doubt, yeah.
As far as the results she produced on the racetrack go, Chris, for you, what was the most satisfying of those?
Funnily enough, we had never really been racing, and we missed her first race, which she won by 10 lengths at Canterbury in a night meeting, and that put her into her first real race, which was the Silver Slip that she ran third. And we were just excited to get to the races. I mean, the big deal was to get to a race in Sydney on a Saturday, you know, and then to actually place in a race. That was extraordinarily satisfying. And we were just having fun. It was a journey that we had no great ambitions, but she kept pushing hard. And I guess from there, she won the Sweet Embrace, and we jokingly said, you know, we're buying a horse to get into the Golden Slipper, and there she was, the favourite, first horse we'd ever bought. And unfortunately, John Laws tipped her as his favourite, which is obviously the Kiss of Death. So she ran fifth in the Slipper. And big a day as that was, I think, it was the Silver Slipper, or maybe even the Oakley Plate. She got, you know, she came around the corner at Caulfield, kind of leading the race, and Fastnet Rock just flattened her, and she picked herself up almost literally off the ground, chased him down to run third. And you could just see the toughness in her. You know, she was a little girl. You know, Ron Duffersey called her a pit pony, but which I... We had a conversation to laugh about just recently at the English sales, at the Easter sales, and she certainly proved that, you know, inside her there was a heart bigger than her.
And Peter O'Brien from Sejan Ho this week, in the tribute to her, described her as a beautifully unique character and very much treasured by not only yourselves but many on the farm. But what were some of her quirks as a broodmare?
Well, I guess the guys there used to dread putting her in the crush to peg test her, or she just did not like, she was claustrophobic. So ultimately they learned to kind of keep her out in the field in the paddock and examine her out there, but put her in a crush, and she reverted back to being a very temperamental, unique, hormonal female, if I can say that nicely. And her, you know, loved being on her own. You know, she was happiest just out in the middle of a paddock doing her own thing. She rarely made friends. You know, Mackayby Diva, when she was down at Mackayby, you know, they were in a paddock together and they were pretty good mates. And Wedgetail Eagle's probably the only other mare that's ever could get within about 8 feet of her. So she was unique in that she didn't need anything. She just gave everything she could, knew what her job was, happy to just be over on her own. But just did everything. You know, she's what you wanted in a mare. You know, she did everything you asked her to do with no fuss.
You and your wife, Jane, managed to get fairly close to her. I did see on the internet this week a photo published of you both holding her quite closely. How was that moment?
Well, she knew us. She knew Peter and the guys at my farm. Like, she knew them and she put up with us. But when she'd had enough, she'd just walk away and you let her go. It wasn't, you obeyed her rules. It was all about what she would let you do. You know, there was no, if she didn't want to do it, she just got put on the sidelines and we waited till she was ready to do what she needed to do or wanted to do. If it wasn't today, then it was always tomorrow. That was her attitude. And probably not a bad few traits to have. She did her job. You know, she, as a race mare, she raced. That's what she did. And she bred, she produced the best she could. You know, gave everything she could to it.
She did indeed, as we ran through earlier in the interview, the honour roll of horses that she produced. What would you say, as a broodmare, was her greatest achievement on the track?
Well, you know, obvious, you know, she took us to Royal Ascot. I mean, there's not many breeders. If I revert it back, I can remember before we'd even bought her, one of my goals was to breed, own and race, you know, champion colt, like any breeder. And she allowed that dream to come true. You know, we got to meet the Queen. I mean, that doesn't come much higher than that. And that was just the most amazing day because we'd already won. You know, like, we'd got to the UK, you know, we'd sold a horse, everything else was a bonus. And then to actually win, and to win, you know, like he did, same thing, you know, he just pushed to the line, knew where it was and won. And you may have seen some of the footage, but the ecstasy in the Australians, you know, in that parade, in the mounting yard was just, like, I can feel the goosebumps again now. Just extraordinary, extraordinary feeling.
Amazing. Great memories she's provided you with. And her last foal was a yearling colt by Fastnet Rock, which was sold by Sedge and Ho Inglis Easter for $2.3 million. And she's got a two-year-old colt by Fastnet Rock by the name of Tungsten Bay that was retained to race and is in work with Team Hawks.
Correct. Yeah. So we called the yearling M2, obviously in relation to his brother, and he's just the most gorgeous, gorgeous looking colt. Everything you could, you know, he ticks every box you could imagine. He's going to be trained by Kieran Maher again, and as Jane says, you know, who knows where the dream goes from here, you know, the possibilities with an unraced two-year-old colt are endless. And Tungsten is actually by All Too Hard, and Team Hawks do have him, John and the boys, and they are very fond of him. He's being nurtured along quietly. He probably won't get to the track until he's a three-year-old, which is the All Too Hards, and there's no sense in pushing him for the sake of pushing him. So quite happy to have, you know, John, who's just the master of understanding colts, looking after this guy.
And she'll rest at Sedgen Ho and lie beside other champions there, and that's a lovely tribute to her that she deserves.
Extraordinary. She'll be beside Circus Gold and, you know, live, basically look out over the farm. You know, she's up on the hill. It's the most amazing farm too. And, you know, like, it just, it's probably the icing on the cake. I mean, she's lived on some of the most amazing farms, from Woodlands and Mackaybe and Coolmore, and to finish her days at Sedgeno, and to be honoured by the farm and Peter and, you know, the Maloneys to allow that, you know, her to be buried up there is the most touching thing, yeah.
Mm. Peter was very upset this week by her passing too.
Well, you know, she changed his life. You know, she changed his life. You know, he rode, you know, her offspring every which, and he's such a horseman, as you know. You know, he just loves them. They're his kids, and, you know, it's just sad. It's just a very sad couple of days. But as we talk, you know, each evening and reminisce, you know, and start to laugh again, it's, you know, you remember that you've got to be grateful too. You've got to be grateful. So, yeah.
Well, her legacy will certainly live on for a long time.
Yes, she will. You get a bit emotional towards the end there. No, she's her offspring, you know, merchant, and who knows what these other colts will do, and her page and all her other babies, you know, they're producing, and it's a running family, and, you know, the catalogue will just keep growing into the future.
Chris, thanks for sharing the memories of Legally Bay with us on the program this morning, and you enjoy the rest of your Sunday.
Thank you. Thanks, Jo. Thank you. Bye now.
That's Chris Barham, who was the owner, along with his wife Jane, of Legally Bay, a great broodmare passing away on Wednesday.